Always nice to pray, but Jan feels he needs it today. No, I'm kidding. Desperately needs it. Our Father God, thank you for such a blessing that Jan can come through and bring a team that wholeheartedly serving you, Father God. Lord, I pray that tonight that you will use him as your mouthpiece, that he may speak what it is that you want to be said, Lord God, and that we will be willing, attentive listeners, knowing that it's your word that comes to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Water breakfast before we... It's always good to be here. Man, I didn't expect that, Nomvulapa. Thank you. It's a saying we have in the noon that when we get together and it's nice because God is there. You know, it's never nice if God is not there. It's always nice when God shows up. And so we say it's nice to be here, and everybody will say, Kumunandi Kubalapa. Yeah, it's nice to be here. That's good, that's good. Some are catching up. It's nice to be here. Awesome. We love it here, and it's a wonderful evening. I just wish we could just continue to worship because his name is beautiful. He is beautiful more than anything else. And when we sing to him, actually, the moment we were singing, you could just see how beautiful he is. And you just want to continue singing so you see more of his beauty. But I do believe he wants us to look at something that I believe he's already spoken to us as a church that we should look at. And we'll continue to look at that. I'm sure last week, Mark Davis was here. Am I right? And he spoke on hospitality. And it's a subject that we... We'll continue to look across your chain. We started actually this morning because last week there was something else, and this morning that's when we only started looking at the series. So you guys are kind of way advanced than us, but we will catch up. Amen. Awesome. So if I say this morning, don't worry because I'm used to say this morning. So I might get lost somewhere, forget that it's actually not morning. Just translate for yourself. Is it okay? Awesome. If I say amen, I know sometimes here the guys don't really say amen. So if I say amen and you don't respond, I'm not sure whether you're with me or not. With amen, he's trying to see if you're with me. Okay, I see that. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, so we're going to talk about hospitality, like I said. And I think last week, Mark Debs touched on what is hospitality. So as we continue with the series, this evening we will look at why we do hospitality, why we do it. So that'll be the subject that we're going to look at. And to start off with, there's an interesting passage that we find in Luke chapter 24, verse 28 to, if we can have that up. So the story is really after Jesus was resurrected. He's alive, died, buried. He was alive. You know, he's just walking, and there's two guys that are on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about the events that just happened. And as they're talking, Jesus happens to be accompanying. And so we pick from verse 28. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. So he's walking with them, and Jesus pretends like he's going a little bit further. But they urged him strongly. I love that line. They urged him strongly. So they didn't just urge him, but strongly. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. And the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. If we can move on a little bit. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" While he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us. And I think the line there, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That's a very important line for me. But that has got something that precedes it in the story. That as they were walking and they're talking and they're going to their village, Jesus happens to be with them. And as he was with them, they did not recognize it was Jesus because their eyes had not been opened. So there was a need for their eyes to be opened, but Jesus accompanied them, waited for an invitation in order for him to have a platform to open their eyes. And I think the interesting thing for me in this story is that they strongly urged him to come in. So there was a strong urging of invitation to say, Jesus, it's over, the day is over, it's almost dark, please come, so that if you continue with your journey, you can do it tomorrow when it's day again. So Jesus went in because there was an invitation. And of course, that's when this opening of eyes happened. And when we look at that story, it is really a story of men being hospitable to God. Men, without knowing, exercising hospitality to God without even realizing this was the Lord himself. And of course, in doing so, they realized it was the Lord that they invited in. And I think last week, the story that you looked at, which we looked at this morning, the story in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus speaks to a crowd just like us, where he talks about how in the last days he's going to separate sheep from the goats. That's going to happen. But the story, as it goes on, he talks about how he is going to say to some, you welcomed me in. And then they'll ask, when did we do so, Lord? When did we say, come in and give you water to drink and give you food to drink and give you a bed to sleep? When did we do that? And Jesus said, no, the little things you did to these little brothers of mine, you were doing it for me. So what I draw from this story, really what I learn is, if we invite strangers, just like Jesus was a stranger on the road to Emmaus with these guys, when we invite strangers in our houses, in our homes, we actually inviting Jesus to be with us. And the wonderful thing that happens is that in those moments, we get to dine with Jesus. Because that's what he said. It's a wonderful thing to know for sure that this is the Lord Jesus sitting with me on the table. That's an amazing thing to have. But Jesus said, you can have it. It's right in front of us. And we sit in the story, and he's encouraging us to do even as we saw last week. It is my prayer, really, that our eyes be opened. All of us, that our eyes be opened to realize that when we invite brothers and sisters, that when we serve brothers and sisters, that we are actually serving the Lord Jesus himself. That when we invite people into homes, I pray that our eyes will be opened to come to a realization so that in our invitation, in our serving them, we actually do as though we're doing to Jesus himself. That is my prayer. That, and that's what we see throughout scriptures, even speaking of gifts that we have, that we use those gifts to serve the body of who? Of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and the body belongs to him. Every member of the body belongs to him. And as we serve the body, we actually serving the Lord himself. That's the scriptures. That's what we learn. Now, I'm going to come back to hospitality. we spoke about how we go, if we practice, of course, hospitality, how we're going to ask Jesus, like, when did we see you? When did we see you needing a place to stay and we opened for you? And of course, everything we are doing is we invite people. And I love the fact that invitation is something that when I came, I was like, okay, there's something here. It's on another level. It's like on steroids. It's like there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm an African. I grew up, my mom used to have people in her arms all the time. Amen. All the time. It's like some people, I mean, as a little guy, it's like, what are they doing here? You know, it's like. So, but when I came to Josh Jane, what I realized was actually, as much as I understood hospitality from where I come from, but actually, this is something else. Because this is intentional. This is, has got eternity in it. It's not just, hey, come, let's have lunch. Oh, come, let's do this. But actually, there is eternity in this thing that's happening. So when we invite people in our homes, it's not just to have a safe place for a brother or a sister to come and stay. But actually, what we're doing in that moment is going to echo into eternity. It's going to last forever. It's a fruit that Jesus said, every single one of us ought to be a fruit that will last for eternity as we do those things. So we will ask Jesus, when, Lord? And he's going to say, come on. You remember when he opened your house, when there was a conference down in Cape Town? You opened your house. You gave your bed. All of that, you were doing it for me. Come on in to the kingdom. Come on in into what God has prepared for you. I love what Hebrews says in chapter 13. If we can look at that, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says here, keep on loving each other as brothers. I love that line. It actually was not in my notes, but as I was giving, I said, I need that line to come. Because it says, keep on loving each other as what? As brothers. So when I see every single one of you, as much as I'm different from you, when you look at me, when you look at yourself, and you're going, we're not really looking exactly the same. But you know what? You're a brother. You're a sister to me, and I'm a brother to you. That's what Jesus said. And he says, keep on loving each other. Not just love each other, but actually love each other as brothers. So in other words, we are family. That's what he's saying. We are family. We may not live or speak the same language, live in the same neighborhood, in the same street, or come from the same line of family in terms of blood. But let me tell you, there is another blood that's way thicker than your blood where you're coming from. And that blood is the blood of Jesus. It is washed. He has washed me. It has invited all of us. We are accepted in that family of God. And we've become brothers and sisters. And that's why here, the writer to the Hebrews says, keep on loving each other as brothers. But listen to the next line. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. What a wonderful thing to know or to realize that actually when you opened your house, that was Jesus who came in. Like these guys we read about. They're walking with him. They say, come in. As he comes in, they realize, wait a minute. This is the Lord himself. And some, in doing so, entertained angels. And this is the encouragement of scriptures on all of us, that we are to open our hearts. Because without opening our hearts, we cannot open our houses. We cannot open our homes. The first step is to open our hearts. Because it's family. We're family. And moving on, the wonderful thing in that story is that God revealed himself in that story as they opened their houses and their homes. Jesus revealed himself. And I wonder how many times when we invite people and we spend time together with other brothers and sisters, and in that moment, we get to see more of Jesus. We get to see more of Jesus in others. As we speak, you know, I love spending time with people who don't speak the language that I speak, because oftentimes I get to see how different they are from me. But what's important in those moments, I actually get to realize who I am. Because every time I spend time with people that speak the way I speak, do the way things I do, eat the food that I do, I never really fully realize who I am, because that's what I see. But the moment I get too close to other people that speak a different language, who eat different food, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I can eat that. I stayed with Koreans for like 5 years. And of course, at the end, I was like, where is kimchi? You know, I was loving. I mean, I still love Korean food. But at the beginning, that was stinking so bad to me. And in those moments, I actually realized who I was. Because I didn't know how I would react to something different from me. But guess what? God used those moments to help me to become a better person, to become more like him. Because he was not like us. But he still loved us. He still came for us. And he invited us in so that we can look more like him. Amen? Remember, I said that to check if you're with me. Amen? Three very important thing. I'm not sure what time I started, so he's gonna, when it's time. I said to him, you know, I'm an African, so we do the African way. In Africa, you know, we don't have, but we have all the time we need. And you guys, you got like, but you don't have time. It's like, no, we gotta go. It's like, so why do you have that if you don't have time, you know? There's a time for everything. There's time for this, but there's also a time for, hey, don't look at that thing. Especially when it comes to hospitality. Especially when it comes to being hospitable. Being hospitable is sometimes getting out of your time. You plan things according to God says, no, I'm not working on that time. I'm working on a different time. And be flexible to accommodate strangers. That's what it means sometimes. Anyway, why we do hospitality? Some of the motivations we see, we can draw from scriptures why we have to be hospitable is, the first thing is relationships. So when we open our hearts to strangers, in those moments, we create platforms for us to build relationships. You know, I loved what he said. You're a welcoming congregation. You love people. Amazing. Well done. Keep doing that. And I know in Josh Jane across, really, there is that. But we want to keep on doing that. Paul says in some of the letters, you love each other, but I want to write to you so you can keep on doing that. And I think it's something that we need to do. So we create moments for relationships when we practice hospitality. In fact, the word hospitality in other African languages, if you were to translate it, it would be a word we probably are familiar with, the word Ubuntu. And some of us, we've heard the term, maybe we're not sure what it means. But if you want to translate that really into also, it will probably be Ubuntu, practicing Ubuntu. And Ubuntu, as we know the phrase, Umundu ngumundu ngabantu. Some of us will have heard that. If you're speaking Setswana, they would say Mutu kimutu kabatu. If you're speaking Shona, they would say Munu munu nakuti vanu. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I see some of your eyes are going. But basically, what that means, it means a relationship. It means that I cannot be an island. I cannot exist on my own. In order for me to be, you gotta be there. That is the spirit of Ubuntu, bottom line, however people may want to translate it, whatever. But bottom line, what it really in essence means is, for me to exist, you gotta exist. You better be there. Because without you being there, I cannot be me. So together, which is really a relationship at the end of the day, is important. So I cannot be on my own. I cannot be independent. There's no way I can be an island. I have to be part of the community. And what builds and brings the community together is to realize that I relate to everyone else. I am part of a bigger thing, more than just me. And isn't that what really koinonia is all about? When we talk of fellowship, one of strong value within Jewish Gen is fellowship, getting together and do life together. It's a very wonderful biblical value that I believe God is reminding all of us to carry. Umundu, umundu, nabandu, you are because someone else is. Amen. There's no way we can be an in-between. I love the story of how Martha, Mary and Martha, you know, you read about them in scriptures, but oftentimes you read about it, you can actually not realize that they were practicing hospitality. That's why we read about them. They will have Jesus in their homes oftentimes, complaining there's someone making food and blah. But what they were doing was they were creating a platform for Jesus to come in. And who is writing? Jesus is not writing. So he was the not only person there, but he had other people. That's why we have other dudes that were busy what? Recording what was, because they were also welcome into their home. They were practicing hospitality. And Jesus, at some point we read in John chapter 11, Lazarus is ill, he's sick and he's about to die. And they invite Jesus to come. Hey, the one you love is sick, come. But he doesn't go. And of course we know the story. But Jesus ended up going and raised Lazarus back to life. And I think there was something way before that that was created and set this miracle to happen. And I love miracles. I want to see miracles happening. But we got to prepare a platform for those miracles to happen. And that is to invite Jesus. And how do we do so in our day and age? Well, he's not going to walk and knock your door physically. I think he may do that, but I don't think that's going to happen in time soon. But when we welcome others, when we welcome his brothers, his sons and his daughters, us, other believers who may not speak our language, who may not look like us, but when we open our homes for them, I do believe we're creating platforms for God to come and do wonders. And of course, in speaking of inviting people, it's easy if it's Adam going, well, yeah, I can invite Adam because it's Adam. You know what I'm saying? Or is, you know, but what if it's someone who is just here for the first time? They're not dressed properly. Nobody knows them. Can we welcome those people into our homes? Somebody who speaks a different language. We were hearing one of our elders behavior speaking this morning in our congregation. That, some years ago, he hosted a guy from Germany who could not speak English at all. Yeah. They spent the night together. He slept in the noon in a bed and be kind of like under the bed, you know, because the space there is quite limited. It's like, you know, and you're hosting somebody, you got to go underneath. But they made it through the night, and for 2 days they stayed together. And communication was very challenging, you know. Sign language, sometimes to be hospitable means that. That we welcome somebody who may be speaking Portuguese from Brazil, who doesn't know how to speak an English word. But as they come in, watch your life and watch your love for Jesus and see how you are going out of your comfort zone to make a place for them. They see that and they're changed, they're transformed. And who knows what they're going to do with that. And Jesus looks at you and he goes, you welcomed me even when it was difficult, when it was tough. Amen. So that's what really James talks about in James chapter 2, which we can go and read, where he says we mustn't invite the wealthy and the rich, but even the poor, even those who have nothing, even those who will never return anything to us. And really what that is us obeying the Lord Jesus, because that's what he did to us. He didn't welcome us in because we were anybody's, but we were nobody's. And he used to welcome us. And he says, she says, much as I've done this to you, now you go and do it to others. So we ought to obey him, which leads me to a second reason why, or second motivation why we practice hospitality. And that is really a retribution. And we see this in scriptures where if we are not going to obey, there's going to be a moment for that if we don't walk under his lordship. Because to us, Jesus is not just a savior. He is a savior, and it's a wonderful thing that we have what? A savior. But he's also the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's the Lord Jesus Christ, it means he has a say over our lives. And as his servants in that regard, there's an expectation for us to obey what the Lord says to us, what the Lord commands to us. And we see that even last week, the story of separating sheep from the goats, you follow that story, really what distinguishes the two is not so much how we sing in church, it's not so much how we study the scriptures and understand the secrets that are in the word of God. It's not that separates the sheep from the goats. You follow that story, really, it's about opening our homes to strangers. It's about us being hospitable. That's what separates sheep from the goats in that story. And of course, we know what's going to happen to the sheep. We know what's going to happen to the goats, which is really eternal damnation, where Jesus, you know, I love the story where he would say, like, it's a scary story. Away from me, for I never knew you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we sang for you. We were there. And he looks at your life and goes, now you never welcomed me into your house. You saw me as a stranger. You opened your house. You closed your heart to me. You never greeted. How can I welcome you in when you denied me? Lord, when did I deny you? Lord, when did I close my heart? I sang for you. God, I was there. In no. Away from me. I never knew you. Because we did not open our hearts to him. And we see the stories of many stories in scriptures that talks about this. And for example, the story of how Jericho walls went down. The spies were sent prior to that. And as they were there, they were welcomed by a prostitute, Rahab. She welcomed them and she protected them and she provided hospitality to them, the spies. And she kept them safe and made sure there was a way for them out. And she was saved from the destruction that came on Jericho because of being hospitable. A very simple act. And of course, we read many other stories where she fits into the plan of God that has impacted our lives to this day. For one simple act of hospitality that she showed the spies. So it's an amazing thing that happens when we walk in obedience. But if we disobey, a terrible thing also will happen. And finally, that should not be our primary motivation to be scared of that. It's good to be scared sometimes. It's good kind of fear of, God, I don't want that. I want this. And because I don't want that, Lord, I'm going to be walking in fear of the Lord and do what pleases Him. And one of the things that I do know that God will do to those who will practice hospitality, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, if we can have that up. And this is really, I think, God is speaking to us even right now. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. As you do what you do in helping people, His people, God is saying, I'm not going to forget your work. I'm not going to forget even a little act of kindness that you're going to show His people. A little act of kindness that you're going to show to one of His little brothers. He's saying, I'm not going to forget any of that. You already forget a lot of things that you've done that are kind. Some people that you've hosted, you've already forgot about all of that. Because you've been doing it for many years, but God is saying, I'm not going to forget even one of those kind acts you've done. So when we open our houses and our homes, God is promising here that He will not overlook your work. He will not forget it, but He will always remember. And here's what He does. He will reward us because of that. This is why you remember. He wants to reward us for the good things that we do. God is ready and is prepared and He's been prepared for all eternity past to reward each and every single one of us for the good things that we do for Him as we open our hearts and our homes for His children. He wants to reward you. He wants to reward me. He wants to reward us. And He does so because as we open, we began to form friendships and we become family, really. And before you realize, you've got a brother who is from another mother. That's what He does. And all of a sudden, you thought it was just you, yourself, and you, and now you've got brothers. No longer me, myself, and I, but it's us. And that's what He rewards us with, as well as many other things. Even in Galatians, we are told that, you know what, when we sow, we reap. And the principle of sowing and reaping is obvious to all of us. We cannot sow what is bad and reap what's good. If the expectation from us to sow what's good, what do we need to sow? We sow what is good. You cannot sow maize, million, and somehow reap grapes. That is not how the principle works. You want to reap grapes, you better sow what? Grapes. So we want to reap good, so we need to sow what is good. In Acts, we are told about how when we practice hospitality, when we do what is good, we're actually giving. And the scripture tells us it's better to give than to. And that line, only those who have done that will understand what that is really all about. That when you do an act of kindness, when you go out of your comfort zone to bless someone, the feeling you get out of that is out of this world. And you can only know that once you do it. There's no way to help you understand it apart from, hey, you want to know that feeling? Do it. Because the world around us, it says, no, no, no. If you want to have, you must what? Accumulate. Keep. That's how you're going to have. God's principle says, no, no, that's not how you get. Getting is in giving. And that's what the scripture says. Blessed is the one who gives and the one who receives. But not only in this life, I do believe that the scripture is quite clear on this, that we will be rewarded in the next life. Well, we already have that life, but when we truly actually get there, because we will get there, when we get there, the Bible tells us that we will be rewarded according to the deeds done in the flesh. So how your rewards will look like in heaven depends entirely on what you do now. You do what you do now? Well, maybe we don't realize it now, but when we get there, we will realize it, and it will be too late for us to try and come back and say, look, I want more here. So it's like, it doesn't work that way. But God is a good God. He's sharing his heart with us because he knows there before we get there. And he's going, you do what you do here. You serve me. You open your homes. You do all these good things, such as hospitality and many others. And as you do these things, we're storing ourselves treasures in heaven. Every time you do that, your treasures are piling up in heaven. And this is what God wants for you and for me and for everyone, that we practice hospitality. And I do believe that it's something that God has put his finger on for all of us. That, hey, that's what I want you to hear for the next while. And I do believe from last week, God has been speaking to us. And I do believe that even this evening, God is speaking to us. And it's a muscle that God is busy, what? Helping us to exercise so that we can be strong. And sometimes when you go to the gym and you exercise, you kind of like, you know, get busy and you're not there. When you go back, it's like, it's like, come on, man, I used to do this. What's wrong? But the muscle maybe became a little bit weaker and weaker and weaker. And now you want to do it and you know how it feels when you're strong enough. And because you know that, man, you got to keep on pumping that iron because you feel good when you do it. Maybe you never do it before. Well, there is somewhere where you can start. And you can start, it's hard. But the more you do it, the more you realize, actually, I can do this. Yeah, it's possible. Come on, let's do this. And I'm loving it. That's what happens. And I do believe that that's what God is doing with us in this season. That maybe some of us will never open our home to anybody, to strangers. And it can be, I'm not sure, but it's okay. Because that's how you start. But in spite of, you still go and do it. And you practice, and you practice. And before you realize, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Some of us, we've been doing it for years. We're doing it now. We're loving it. Come on, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it, because the more you do it, the more treasures are being stored in heaven. The more you do it, the more treasures are being piling for you in heaven. And I do believe that God is speaking to us. And I think when God ever speaks, he wants us to respond. Because when he speaks, I believe that he just speaks the truth. He speaks the truth, but he also brings grace. Because that's what Jesus brought. He brought the truth and grace. So whenever God speaks, he gives us the grace to do the impossible. To do what we thought in ourselves we could do, we could not do. But then we realize, hey, I'm responding to what God is saying. And yeah, I'm doing it because his grace is there. And I do believe that as we respond to him, we will see the impossible become possible. And we will see ourselves practicing hospitality more than ever before because we responded to God. Amen? Amen. Maybe the worship team can come and I really do think we're going to sing one more song that I will tell them which song. That I hope you're okay. You okay with that? We respond to God in many different ways. And as these guys come up, and I've never been here in a while, so I don't know everybody in here. We talk about, when we read one of the scriptures, how the Bible says, keep on loving each other as brothers. I can assume that all of us have become brothers and the one Father, God Himself. But I don't want to assume, because there could be someone sitting among us who may be still outside, not in a relationship with the Father. Because this brotherhood happens when that connection happens. And the connection to the Father, the Creator, God Himself, opens a door for this family to be your family, to be my family. And maybe there's someone here who is still outside who is going, I've heard about God, but I don't relate to Him as a father. I'm not part of His family. Maybe you don't know where you're going when you die. Because there is life after this life. How do I know that? By faith. I believe so. And that's how we come to God, by faith. If that's you this evening, and you hear, you're sitting, you're hearing what's been going on, maybe you've been part of this congregation for some time, maybe you've been coming, checking out what's happening here, I don't know. But wherever you are, and wherever you are, God loves you, and He wants you to be part of this family. And if that's you this evening, would you raise your hand? I know everybody's eyes open, it's okay. But is anybody like that? Just lock your hand, please pray with me. I really want to be part of this family. Maybe you wandered away, like that story of the prodigal son. And maybe you're coming to your senses. God's arms are wide open for you. Anybody like that this evening? Before we move on. Thing that I want to move on to is to all of us. I love the song we sang earlier. Jesus, we love your name. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. Even the very first song we sang tonight was talking about how we love Him. Jesus says this. We're not going to know that we love Him by singing a song of love to Him. That's not the sign that we love Him. How do we know that we love Him? By obeying His commands. It's very simple. He says, you want to know that you love me? Check if you obey my commands. You may be singing, oh, how we love you. Oh, how beautiful you are, Jesus. But when it comes to hospitality, we look, not for me. In that moment, Jesus going, you see, you don't love me. Because those who love me will obey my commands. They will obey me. I will say things and they will obey. I will say go to the right and they go. I will say turn left, they go. They will listen to my voice and they obey me. And they do what I say. And when I see that, Jesus said, I know that you love me. That's a beautiful song. I don't want to take that away from us. We must sing love songs to Him. That's a wonderful thing. He comes in and He dines with us in those moments and we can feel His presence. It's good. It's encouraged by the Bible. We must do it. But do we truly love Him? I don't know where you find yourself tonight as far as opening your home is. But I do believe that God has been speaking to us. Maybe it's been easy for you to welcome people that are easy to welcome. Maybe you've been opening your homes to certain people, not others, because maybe they are difficult. God is saying to you, welcome strangers in your house. He's saying, entertain strangers in your house. And I don't know where you find yourself tonight. I know God has been speaking to us, though, including myself. But I do want to create a moment for us, if that's okay. If it's you, you're saying, Johanna, I really feel like the Lord is speaking to me. There's an adjustment that I need to do in my own life because I want to please Him. On that day, I want to hear Him saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant, because I obeyed Him, because I walked the talk and not talk and end there, and actually put it in practice. If that's you, and maybe you need prayer, let's all stand together. And that's you tonight, and you just want to come in. And I know these guys are here. We're going to, if you can sing that song again about loving Jesus. And if you, that's you, and you really feel like, man, please pray with me because I really want to adjust one or two things in my own life so that I can please the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you. Maybe you can make it with the front. I'm sure there's people that will pray with you. And like I said, I do believe God's grace is here. As we sing this song, let's actually put that into practice and say, God, the first step for me is to come and say, God, here I am. I'm repenting from whatever it is that you want to repent from. And see the hand of God as He comes and gives you the grace to do much more than you thought you could. It's you, maybe we can pray.
So just in terms of responding to this, as Johan was saying, if you're feeling like you want to come out and just say, God, I need to just tweak something in my heart, or maybe tweak something in my mind, that you've been touched by what has been spoken, and there's something, perhaps it's something you've never done, perhaps it's something you had done but now you've fallen out of the habit and you need to get back to where God's calling you to, then just come out. It's a great moment just to step out and say, here I am, send me. You know, it's that moment of, and we're not dealing with something that's gross sin. We're dealing with something that's just reaching that state of where God wants us. You know, so just encourage you, just come out and respond to the Lord, and as we continue to worship Him.